Tonight, Mr. Walter Houston stars in Dodsworth by Sinclair Lewis from Studio One at CBS.
Van, I'm willing to do anything I can to make you happy. I adore you. You know that. You're everything I have and want. Only we've got to cut out this nonsense of being wandering adventurers, and we've got to get back home.
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's greatest stories in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, a romantic drama which has long been worthy of your returning attention. Of the impressive score of novels by Sinclair Lewis, Pulitzer and Nobel Prize winner, Dodsworth is perhaps his most intimately human story. It's a portrait of a recognizable type of married couple, the kind of Americans who went on the kind of European spree that became almost commonplace in the lives of the middle rich back in the middle 20s. Heading our cast in Vincent McConnor's special version for listening of Dodsworth, we have with us in Studio One tonight one of America's most consistently rewarding actors, Mr. Walter Houston. Moviegoers are currently applauding the greatness of Mr. Houston's most recent performance in a motion picture called Treasure of the Sierra Madre, written and directed by his son, John. But tonight, Mr. Houston recreates for us his first great performance, a role he originated on the stage, in motion pictures, and on the air, Sam Dodsworth. You'll be hearing Ann Seymour as Fran, with Mercedes McCambridge as Edith and Everett Sloan as Kurt. And now we fold back the calendar 23 years to bring you their lives and loves and times.
Just about, my dinner jacket's got a spot on the lapel.
How do I look? I have this frock especially made for tonight.
Bobby Pearson spilled a cocktail on me at the country club last week. I meant to... Oh, darling, you look wonderful. Simply wonderful.
Sam, I want to talk to you.
And what have I done now?
I didn't mention this before because you were working out all those contracts. Well, you signed them this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm a free man. Ex-president of Revelation Motors.
Now we can make plans. Before you get involved in something new...
Plan?
Well, this may be our only chance, Sam. The only time you'll be free till we're both so old we won't enjoy wandering.
But what are you talking about?
I want to go to Europe.
You mean across the Atlantic? Europe?
London, Paris, Italy. I want them all, the whole world.
What about the children?
Oh, they'll manage. Brent's in college. He won't need us. Emily's to be married next month. After that, she won't need us either. We can leave right after the wedding.
No, I don't like this. You're saying they won't need us. I want to be needed, Fran.
I'm the one who needs you.
Oh, I know I haven't been giving enough time, dear, what with all the details of selling the factory, but that's finished. Now I just want to sit around and talk to my wife. Get to know her again. How's my tie?
Fine.
Well, look at it.
Wait, it's fine, Sam. You see, I've got to do something besides sitting around Venus. I'm a very active female, Sam. I want to travel. I've not seen Europe since I was a girl, and you've never seen it at all. Oh, let yourself have a good time for once.
Well, maybe I could look over the Rolls Royce and the Mercedes plants over there.
Sam, if we go to Europe and you spend our vacation visiting factories...
Don't get bothered. We'll talk about it. Well, I better get downstairs and show that extra butler how to fix a dry martini.
Please, don't drink too much tonight.
I never in all my life drank too much.
And try for once to talk about something besides motors and stocks.
All right, I'll try.
Sam, what about Europe?
Well, we'll talk it over later, after the party. Sam, this is the best martini I ever tasted.
Should be, Tubby. Made them myself.
Where's Fran? Still crimping?
Now, keep it down a minute. Hey, this is quite an earth to you, Sam. You built up Revelation Motors to a big corporation, and now you've sold it for a fortune. I hear they've even offered you the job of vice president in their new company.
That's right, Chubby.
Well, Sam, you gonna take it?
I haven't decided. I don't know whether I'd like to be a small cog in a big machine. I'm used to building things, doing them myself. I don't think I'd like sitting in an office giving orders to others.
Looks to me like you've joined the unemployed.
Oh, I find something to do.
Dad.
Matter of fact, I got an idea for a new car.
Dad, I wanted to tell you Hello, Tubby, Mrs. Pearson.
Emily, how's the girl?
Aren't you staying for the party?
Sorry, I have a date with my future husband.
Couldn't you and Harry stay here for a while?
Oh, we're driving over to look at that new house.
In all this snow?
Oh, you really must be in love.
We are, Mrs. Pearson.
Well, now, don't stay out too late. Your mother always worries.
Dad, you look beautiful in that dinner jacket, like a grand duke or something.
Now, don't waste your compliments on your father. Save them for Harry.
He's waiting outside. I'll have to run. May see you later.
Tell him I said drive carefully.
All right.
Looks like a perfect marriage, Emily and Harry McKee.
Yeah, Emily married and Brent at college. Guess I'd better begin to dig in against the lonely 60s.
Sam Dodsworth, what a thing to say.
So glad you could come.
Oh, there's Fran. I'd give my right arm to have a dress like the one she's wearing. And I'd give my other arm if I had her figure.
Never mind, honey. I like you the way you are.
There's a perfect husband for you.
Matilda, Tubby.
Fran, it's a wonderful party.
Mm-hmm. Best martinis, Western New York City.
Well... Has Sam told you the news?
News?
You mean about selling the factory?
No, about us. About Sam and me.
Now, Fran, really, I don't
We're think... going to Europe.
Europe?
The grand tour.
Fran.
Sam Dodsworth, you're a lucky guy. You sell your factory this afternoon and make a fortune. You got a beautiful wife, and now you're going to Europe with her. Yes, sir, you're a very lucky guy.
Yes, Tubby, I guess I am. Not yet.
I want to know. Are we going or not?
Going where, Fran?
To Europe.
Well, a new motor company tried to tie me up to a contract. They want me to come in with them right away. I said I'd like to rest for 6 months before I made up my mind.
Then we can do it. 6 months in Europe.
Do we have to decide tonight?
I won't be able to sleep unless we do. Sam, we've done the first part of our job. Made enough money, brought up the children. We've done all these things, and yet we're still comparatively young.
Comparatively? I'm 50 and you're 41.
I'll not be 41 until next winter. Oh, Sam, let's have a new life. Let's leave this stupid old town without one single solitary plan in our heads beyond landing in Europe and coming back when we please. I'd even like to sell this house, so we won't have anything to bind us.
You're not serious.
I am.
But we couldn't do that. This is our home. The only place we can be ourselves.
Maybe we'll find some new selves. In Europe, a woman at 40 is just getting to the age where important men take a serious interest in her. I only have 5 or 10 more years to continue being young, and I won't waste them. Can't you understand?
You think going to Europe will change anything? Make you young again?
I want to be free to wander wherever I like, not settle down. Oh, I could love you so much more if we weren't a pair of old horses on a treadmill.
I hadn't realized we were on a treadmill.
That's just it. You like it.
Fran.
Do you think you'll ever learn to enjoy things? You don't enjoy life, and you don't want me to.
Well, all right. If that's what you want, we'll go to Europe.
Sam Dodsworth, I love you. Love you.
Enough. Let's go to sleep. These pillows are never the right shape.
Sam.
Yeah?
You're not going to make me feel guilty later on. Complain at me for having dragged you away from Zenith. You'll try to enjoy yourself?
Yeah. I'll enjoy myself if it kills me, and it probably will.
I love this music.
So do I.
I always thought it would be difficult dancing on board ship.
Oh, not at all.
I got songs from a show. Sam and I saw it while we were in New York. Marilyn Miller on a white horse.
We'll be docking at Southampton tomorrow. I, for one, will be very sorry.
So will I. Major Lockett, you've made this a perfectly wonderful voyage.
Oh, so I'm glad. Tell me, where are you and Mr. Dodsworth going?
Oh, we've no plans beyond London.
You'll stay there a bit?
Well, if there aren't too many Americans about. Why is it that the traveling American is such a dreadful person, hunting down culture and so terribly grim about it?
Why is it that you other Americans, you nice ones, are so much more snobbish than the English?
Are we?
Oh, appallingly.
Yes, I suppose you're right. We are, aren't we?
Fran!
What is it, Sam? Oh, really, on the deck.
Major Lockett. I want to take my wife out on deck. Fran, we just sighted land.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, you've got to see it. I want you to share this experience with me. Our first sight of England.
But, Sam...
You'll excuse us, Major.
Well, certainly. Shouldn't you wear your wrap, Mrs. Dudson?
Oh, never mind the coat. Come on, Fran.
Why did you have to rush me off like that?
You've got to see this, Fran. Some sort of a lighthouse. Our first glimpse of England.
Oh, pardon me. Through this door.
It is cold out here.
Yeah, I know it's cold, but look, darling, there it is. That light over there. Mother England. Land of our ancestors. Home.
Really, Sam, you were born in Zenith and your father before you.
Think what this means. Robin Hood, Oliver Twist, and Shakespeare's. You see, I just remembered I got some sort of cousins living in a place called Durham. Lost track of them years ago, but they're my people.
Sam, I'm freezing.
You know, darling, I'm so glad we came. Great for you for persuading me. Look, you can see the shoreline.
Hello there. Am I intruding?
I'm not at all, Major Lockett. My husband has just discovered England.
All right, go ahead and laugh.
Here's your wrap, Mr. Dodsworth. I was afraid you might need it.
Oh, that was very thoughtful. But I'm just coming in.
Look, Fran, look, the moonlight on the cliffs.
I'm going in, Sam.
All right, go ahead. I'll stay out here for a bit.
Let's say we have another go on the dance
floor. Oh, I'd love it.
Just look at that. Mother England. Fran, is that you?
I'm here. The bedroom.
What is it? What's wrong?
Oh, you're back. How was your first bachelor dinner in London? All those American businessmen. Must have seemed like a meeting of the Rotary Club.
Now, Fran, what's the matter with you? You're crying. Anything wrong back home?
I've always said it was really a compliment to a woman to be insulted.
What are you talking about?
Maybe it is a compliment, but... Oh, Sam, I don't like it.
Well, who insulted you?
I never gave him the slightest, littlest excuse. Oh, how I hate that man. He's a supercilious fool, that's what he is.
Who is?
After the opera... I suggested to Clyde, Major Lockett.
Oh, Lockett, oh. What's he done?
I thought we might go somewhere and dance. But he said all the good places were noisy, so couldn't we just come up here and talk?
You brought him here?
Well, I didn't see anything wrong with that. I was a little tired. First, he was awfully nice and told me about his childhood, how lonely he was.
Oh, really, Fran?
Well, you know what a fool I am about children, how much I suffer at just the least little suggestion of anybody not having a happy childhood. I almost cried. Told me how much it had meant to him, just knowing me. Next thing I knew, he'd thrown his arms around me and was trying to kiss me.
Kissed you, did he?
Well, of course, I pushed him away.
Well, I should think so.
He found out that I was most certainly not going to let him kiss me. He got awfully nasty. Said I'd let him on.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not quite sure how to deal with this sort of thing.
Deal with it?
Yeah, I suppose that's me to go out and shoot him or something.
Oh, silly. There's nothing of the sort.
Well, I would feel like a fool. Matter of fact, I can't entirely blame the man.
Samuel Dodsworth.
Well, you flirted with him the whole time we were in London. Before that, on the ship.
I've done no such thing.
You had some excuse, I suppose, for thinking he could grab you off. You had such a nice way of always bawling me out in front of you.
I have never said one word to embarrass you. Not a single word.
Oh, yes, you have. And Lockett naturally supposes I'm a fool.
People who don't understand you think you're vulgar and ill-bred.
Meaning Lockett?
Sam, this is Europe. Not a small town named Zenith.
And I suppose you're an authority on Europe.
I certainly am. After all, I've been here before.
Yeah, when you were a small child, even Europe can change in 30 years.
My father's house was always full of Europeans. And I've read more French and German and British books than you've read detective stories. Sam, you could never be a European.
Fran, stop sneering.
I am not sneering.
Well, you're completely right. I never could be a European. Why should I? I don't want to be anything but what I am. But I'll never try to prevent you from being as European as you want to. But just don't take this fight at Lockett out on me.
But I'm sorry. I'm terribly ashamed.
Ah, for Pete's sake, stop crying.
Sam, I want to leave England. I couldn't stand it here with that man thinking he's laughing at me and talking about me.
He wouldn't do that.
Never knowing when I might run into him. I don't want to stay here.
All right, let's go home. I've had enough. Let's get back to Zenith and open the house.
Oh, no. Not yet. We've only been away a month. Couldn't we go to... France? You promised me we would.
Well, if that's what you want.
I do. We can start out all over again. I won't make a fool of myself this time. Oh, you like Paris. Brioche, red plush wall seats, and fat lady cashier.
All right, Fran. We'll start over again. In Paris.
That be all, madame?
Oui. say, too.
Madame Aurin, if anything more is desired?
Yes, I mean, oui. Merci beaucoup.
Oh, bonjour, madame.
Sam, breakfast here.
I'm coming.
Shall I pour your coffee?
Yeah. Make it black. I don't want it half-warm milk.
Oh, it feels so luxurious having breakfast in our suite.
Don't suppose they bought an American paper?
Yes. Here's a Tribune.
Oh, good. Paris edition. At least I'll be able to read part of it. I wish Emily would send me some papers from back home.
Scrambled eggs.
Yeah, please. Well, what's planned for today?
Well, I have a fitting at 11 for that new evening gown. This afternoon, I'm sitting again for my portrait. Then tea at Madame de Knapp's. Oh, by the way, you're invited.
No? How'd that happen?
Oh, really, Sam? Renee always asks me to bring you.
Yeah, I don't like that woman.
Well, how can you say such a thing? You don't know her.
Don't like the look of her. That dead white skin and dyed red hair.
Like my hair when I had it done last week. Of course, mine was only touched up a bit to bring out the natural color.
That woman looks like a freak. So do all the people she runs around with. I don't like any of them. And who is she anyway, this Mrs. Penabo?
How many times must I tell you? It's Madame de Penab.
She's Penabo to me. As far as I can tell, there's never been any... Well, no one's ever seen any Mr. Penabo.
René's salon is one of the most fashionable in all Paris.
Mm-hmm. Where does she get her money? Does she have an income, alimony, or does she get commissions from all the shops she steers you into?
What difference does it make where she gets her money?
Maybe she's an international spy.
Now you're being ridiculous.
I never knew anyone to talk so much about themselves and tell you so
little. Oh, René's been wonderful to me. Taking me to the right shops, introducing me to the right people.
Right shops, right people. Doesn't anybody ever do anything wrong here? At least this is what you want, isn't it? Fine. Are you happy?
Completely, darling.
Well, that's the important thing.
What are you doing today? Sightseeing?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll go back and see that cathedral again.
We've already seen it once.
With you and Mrs. Penabo. I'd like to go back and spend some time there, you know, just walking around.
Without your wife's chattering to bother you.
I didn't say that.
It's what you meant.
Van, can't we eat one breakfast in peace?
That's entirely up to you. Heaven knows I have a headache all day when we quarrel at breakfast. More eggs.
No, but I'll have another cup of coffee.
All right.
Van, I've been meaning to talk to you.
Yes?
Yeah, about going home.
Oh, no. No, Sam, not yet. I want to see a lot more of Europe first. Why, I've hardly even started. I want to see Italy, the Mediterranean, maybe Egypt.
There's several things I ought to settle back in Zenith. I'd like to see Emily in her new house. There's my class reunion in June, and could you pass the sugar?
Oh,
and we could still have a month in the Mediterranean and get home by the middle of June. Thanks. The reunion isn't until the 30th.
I don't want to go home yet.
All right, Fran, forget it.
Will you meet me this afternoon at René de Pinard?
Well, couldn't we go someplace, the, you know, the New York bar?
I'll be at René's for tea, and I'll expect you to pick me up there.
Very well, tea at Mrs. Penabo's. Madame de Penabo.
I am so glad you could come. Fran, she said you were not certain that you would make it. Some business matters to arrange.
The only business I did today was with myself. Been sort of talking things over, getting things straight in my mind.
That is sometimes very good to do.
Matter of fact, I spent the whole day in the cathedral, Notre Dame, walking and climbing and looking. Quite a place. Those old boys certainly knew how to build for posterity.
Monsieur Dodsworth, you do not like me.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, it does not matter. I happen to like you very much. Oui, I always like honest people. And you are probably the most honest man I have ever met. Even your dear wife, I think maybe she does not know how honest you are.
You make me sound very stuffy.
That was not my intention. I meant what I said to be a compliment.
I'm sure you did. By the way, where is my wife?
Over there, surrounded by all those young men.
Ah, yes, I see her now.
Fran has overwhelmed them, especially the young aviator.
Yeah, the dark fellow with all the hair.
That is Captain Giuseppe. He's Italian, a very fine old family.
Our friends back home would hardly know, Fran.
Yes, she has changed. Even in the short month that I have known her. So much gayer, happier, younger.
Yeah, she is.
Mr. Dodwell, do not let your wife change too much.
Frankly, I don't want her to change at all.
I have seen so many of your American women come to Europe. Seen them swept up into a new kind of life. Some of them never go home again.
Fran and I are going back to Zenith the end of this month.
Oh, I am so glad. I would not care to see Fran become one of those women who does not go home. traveling from the nightclubs of Paris to the nightclubs of Rome. Always traveling. And with no place to go.
Would you give Fran a message for me?
But of course, Monsieur Dodwell.
Tell her to meet me at the hotel.
You not want me to call her over?
No.
I am certain she has not noticed that you are here.
No, don't bother. I have an errand to do.
I am so glad you dropped by. We have this little chat.
Yes, so am I. Very glad.
Have waited for me, Sam.
Well, you seem very busily engaged with all those handsome young men.
I didn't even know you were there until Rene told me. Here, will you fix my shoulder strap?
Sure.
Rene said you stayed about 5 minutes chatting with her, which I must say surprised me.
There you are, all snapped.
Thanks. Why didn't you wait for me?
Why, I had an errand to do.
Errand? Really? I had to get that nice Captain Giacero to bring me back to the hotel.
The young man with all the hair?
Italians have such breeding. Mm-hmm. He could call himself Count Giacero if he wanted to.
Doesn't he want to?
Whatever I say, you twist it around and throw it right back at him. Well, I'm not going to let you tonight. I intend to have a luxurious dinner at some little cafe, and then we'll meet Rene and Captain Giacero at the ballet.
A handsome captain again, eh?
They're dancing l'après-midi tonight.
Dancing what?
Something about the fawn and the scar.
Couldn't we go someplace else, just the two of us?
Certainly not. Rene got a box at the ballet, just for us.
All they do, Penabla and her whole gang of hangers-on, is gossip and chatter, show off like a lot of exhibitionists. Just a bunch of wasters.
Rene de Penabla is an intimate friend of the most exclusive aristocracy.
So what?
Will you kindly stop sneering? You really don't do it very well, sir. Irony is not your long suit, my dear good man.
Don't talk to me like that.
Then don't act like that. And don't say these horrible things about my friends.
They're not your friends. These slick young men hanging around you, flattering you, they're no good. Nothing but a lot of butterflies.
Well, thank heaven for the butterflies. I'm awfully tired of sensible, worthy ants. Sam, if we're going on together, we might just as well have this out.
Yeah, let's do that.
All I want is to enjoy life, have a little fun while we're in Europe. And all you seem to want is to keep me from having it.
That isn't true, Fran, and you know
it. You criticize everything I say and everything I do. You dislike my friends.
I say they're not your friends.
Oh, it's just no use trying to talk to
them. No use at all unless you talk sense. You're certainly not talking sense when you call these sponges your friends. Hello? Oh. All right. Well, we've been making so much noise, someone's complained. All right, go ahead. Pipe down, but go ahead.
Oh, how humiliating. I've stood for all the insults that I can for one evening. I do hope you won't keep arguing all through dinner.
I'm not going, Gran.
What?
I don't feel like dinner.
Very well. I'll dine alone and go on to meet the others afterwards. I'll make your excuses to Rene and Captain Giacomo.
You needn't bother.
All right, I won't.
Gran, I don't like what you said a moment ago. If we're going on together. Is there any question in your mind that we're not?
I'm not going to argue with anymore. It's already given me a splitting head.
Before you go, I want to tell you I cabled home this afternoon.
Oh?
Yeah, that's what I did. When I left Mrs. Penabla's. Cabled Emily. Told her we were coming home on the next boat.
We're doing nothing of the sort.
I've had enough of Europe, Fran. I'm going home.
Then you're going without me.
You mean that?
I certainly do. Why don't you go home by yourself?
Without you? Oh. What would I tell our friends, leaving you over here? What would they think?
I don't care what they think. Tell them anything you please.
I have reservations on the Aquitania for tomorrow. Fran, never in our entire marriage have I wanted anything so much as I want you to come home with me. Please, Fran. Please.
No, Sam. I'm sorry. I'm staying here.
Very well.
You won't change your mind about dinner? The ballet?
No, I'll stay here and pack.
Oh, darling, all at once I realize how much I'll miss you.
Do you have to cry, Fran?
I'm sorry. I know I swore I wouldn't. Oh, Sam, I almost wish I was sailing with you. Perhaps I'll not stay here very long after all. Perhaps I'll come home.
When, Fran? When?
Well, I don't know. Maybe next month. Sometime this summer. Meanwhile, do have the very best time you can, darling. without me?
I think I've had enough good times for a while.
Give my love to the children.
Of course.
Remember me to the Pearsons, especially Tubby. Tell them they promised to come to Paris while we were here.
I'll tell them.
Oh, my dear. Try and forgive your idiotic, feather-brained wife. And take care of yourself.
Did I remember to tell you today that I adore you?
Sam.
Let me know if there's anything you need, or money or anything.
Write me every day. Don't be angry with me.
No, no. I'm not angry, Fanny. Believe me.
Well, be angry if it will make you any happier. Oh, Sam.
My darling.
You're a big, clumsy bear, but I adore you. Go on now. Get on that train before I fall.
Bye, friend. Come home as soon as you can. Hope it won't be too long. Wonderful word.
It doesn't seem possible this house has been closed up for nearly a year.
Yeah. Seems longer to me since your mother and I went away.
Better leave this door open and let in some air.
Now, I should have opened the place the first day I came back. Nothing so desolate as an empty house.
Oh, I'll have everything back to normal in no time, Dad. The servants are coming in tomorrow, and I'll drop over every day and see how things are going. Meanwhile, you'll stay with Harry and me instead of at the hotel.
You'll get tired of me.
Oh, no, we won't. Harry's delighted. Dad, why not leave this house closed up? You know how Mother loves to do the house over every year. Let her open it up when she gets back.
No, I decided this morning I would get everything in order. I'll write Fran and tell her we're doing it.
You think maybe that would bring Mother home?
Yes, yeah. At least I hope it will.
Dad, you're not happy without Mother. Why doesn't she come home?
Oh, your mother wants to see a lot more of Europe, that's all.
I've had a feeling there was something more than that.
No, it isn't, Emily. Funny how an empty house can get. But it isn't lived in. Seems like somebody else's home, some stranger's, not mine.
No wonder. Covers on all the furniture, no curtains on the windows. Dad, why don't we get new curtains for the living room?
You mean replace the ones we had, those reddish ones with the big flowers?
We'll surprise Mother with new ones, something very fancy.
Oh, I don't know. I always liked those old curtains.
All right, darling, we won't change them. We'll do something else to surprise Mother. Dad, when do you think she will come back?
Oh, I don't know, Emily. Look here. These blinds are getting cracked. Better order some new ones.
Maybe she'll come back since she had a falling out with Mrs. Pinard.
Oh, she wrote in her last letter she might return to Paris.
You liked Paris, didn't you, Dad?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, Paris like a series of villages. Narrow streets, little shops. Very gay there. Your mother is very fond of Paris. Emily, I'm going back.
I thought you would, Dad. How soon?
As soon as I can book passage. Tomorrow, if possible. I'm going to get your mother, and I'm going to bring her home.
Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Walter Houston stars in Fletcher Markle's production of Dodsworth.
Well, Paris hasn't changed in 2 months.
Paris never changes. Sam, you
haven't told me much about the children.
You haven't asked me. They're fine. Fanna, I wish we could have gone someplace not so crowded my first evening back so we could talk.
This is one of the smartest restaurants in town.
I'm sure it is.
Well, what about the Pearsons, Matilda, and Tubby?
Now, they'll be over sometime this month.
Oh, I don't believe it.
That's all planned. Tubby's got some business to attend to in London, and they'll come to Paris for a week or so.
Well, I do hope I won't have to introduce them to all my friends.
No, you won't have to introduce them to anyone, Fran. In fact, you don't even have to see them if you don't want to.
Would Madame care for more champagne?
Oh, yes, thank you. I hope it's properly chilled by now.
Oh, oui, madame.
Too bad you had trouble with Mrs. Pinabo.
I didn't have any trouble, as you put it. And I don't care to discuss it.
What about plans, Fran?
Oh, I really don't have any.
Well, I've come back with two plans for you.
Oh?
Now, let's go home or let's go on traveling.
Plans? I'd like to visit Germany. I've met a charming man, Kurt von Oberstdorf, who has some sort of ancestral palace near Berlin.
I've no desire to go to Germany.
Oh, you'll meet Kurt tonight. He should be here later.
Anything wrong, monsieur?
I suppose you won't even consider going home? No, not just now, thanks.
Very good, monsieur.
Why must you talk to me like that in front of the waiters?
Talk to you like what? There's only one waiter.
They're terrible gossips. Half the people in this restaurant will know that we're having a fight.
I, for one, didn't know we were.
I'm not going home yet, Sam. And if that's what brought you back to Paris, you've wasted your time.
Now look here, Fran.
Oh,
hello there. Edith. Edith Cartwright. Well, when did you get back to Paris?
Just today. And oh, how I hated to leave Italy.
I don't believe you've ever met my husband. Mr. Dodson.
How very nice.
Darling, this is Mrs. Cartwright.
Mrs. Cartwright?
Edith's father was Assistant Secretary of the Treasury.
Well, I'm afraid I'm very unlike my father when it comes to money. My attorney says I shall be penniless before I'm 50. How long are you staying in Paris, Mr. Dodson?
I don't quite know. I'm trying to persuade Fran to do a little more traveling.
Well, if you come down to Venice, do look me up.
Oh, I doubt that we'll bother with Italy. If I go anywhere, I'd like to see Berlin.
How's Kurt, Fran? Is he still in Paris?
Yes. He promised to meet us here tonight.
Good. Well, I must go. Some people are waiting for me in the other room. Good night, Fran.
How smart you're looking.
And you?
We'll look you up if we come to Venice.
I think you might like Italy, Mr. Dodson.
I'm sure I will.
Well, good night.
Good night. Who's that woman?
Seth Cartwright's widow. He was something or other in the British Foreign Service. They traveled all over the world until his death. I think she's a bit of a snob.
Seemed to me quite contrary. I thought her manner rather pleasant. She's certainly the best dressed woman I've seen here in Paris.
But that black dress? It's frumpy.
Well, you said... Oh, I see. You were just being polite. Shall we order a dinner, or do you want another bottle of champagne?
Well, I thought we might wait for Kurt. He said he'd try to have dinner with us.
Who is this Kurt you've been talking about ever since I arrived?
Well, Kurt von Oberstdorf is a member of one of the noblest families in Austria.
Oh, then he's not German.
No, he simply works in Berlin.
Work? You mean he has a job?
With the International Tourist Agency, head of their banking department. He's in Paris on business.
Well, he's the first European man of your acquaintance I've heard that earns a living. I should like to meet him.
And when you do, I hope you won't insult him. At least, not in the first 5 minutes.
Well, who of your friends have I insulted?
We won't go into that, Sam. I don't want to argue. I'd hope that you'd try and be more agreeable now that you've come back.
Now, look here, Fran.
Fran, darling.
Oh, here's your friend now.
Good dear, you're late.
Mr. Dodson, well, of course it is you. I hope you do not mind my kissing your wife's hand.
Oh, go right ahead. I'm sure she enjoys it.
Sam, this... is Kurt.
So I gathered. Waiter, another chair.
Don't shout. Everybody's looking.
Well, how else do you get it?
You are absolutely right, Mr. Dodsworth. The only way to get things quite frequently is to shout for them.
Your chair, monsieur.
You know, Mr. Dodsworth, I am enchanted to see you here in Paris. I know so much about your Revelation motor car. For 6 years, I have driven one.
Indeed. How's it holding up?
Well, it belongs to a friend. But the other day, I drove through the Champs-Élysées at 150 kilometers an hour. I was arrested and fined.
I shall report this to the company and tell them what a good advertisement you are. Have them reimburse you.
Oh, there's an American for you. Always thinking of money.
Yeah, and I suppose you're not an American.
No. Your wife regards herself as very European. But she is completely American.
Really cool.
She is as shiny as... an automobile headlight.
That's very good.
But she is also beautiful, Mr. Dodsworth. Your wife has perhaps the most exquisite hair I have ever seen. But she would be most unhappy if everybody did not acknowledge that.
Kurt, in another minute, I shall be angry.
Mr. Dodsworth, I would like to drive you in my relegation car that belongs to my friend out into the country.
Well, that would be very kind of you.
Perhaps tomorrow. I know an amusing place where we could have lunch.
What do you say, Fran?
If you wish, Kurt.
Splendid.
What's that you're doing, Fran?
Well, what do you mean, dear? Oh, putting perfume on my hand?
Well, I never saw you do that before.
Well, all the women do it in Paris. Yeah,
in case they get their hands kissed, huh?
Really, Sam?
This Kurt is quite a fella for kissing hands.
It's the custom over here.
Oh, I don't mind. He seems kind of silly, that's all. I do think he's sort of bossy, though.
Kurt? Bossy?
You know, always telling us where to go and what we're to do.
But he's only doing that for us.
He likes his own way.
Well, so do you.
All right. Let's not have no argument tonight.
That suits me to perfection. Well, there's Kurt now.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'll be right there.
Come in.
Ah, good evening, Sam.
Good evening. Come in, Count von Oberstdorf.
Oh, please do not call me by all that. I shall be glad if you call me Kurt.
Very well, Kurt.
You know, we Austrians are almost like you Americans in our fondness to call by the first name people we like. Well, is our wife ready?
Our wife?
I hope you do not mind my little joke.
No, not at all. Our wife will be right out. That you, Fran?
Yes, darling. I know I'm late, but Kurt wanted to see some paintings in a little old shop that... Was anything wrong?
I just got a cable from our son-in-law.
Oh?
Emily's had a baby.
Baby? Emily?
9-pound boy.
Oh, Sam. No.
No, nothing to worry about. Emily's fine, and so's the baby.
Well, this is terrible.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Oh, my friends in Paris, they think of me as young. And I am. I am. Now I'm a grandmother. I'm only 41. Oh, Sam, can't you see?
Well, I'm afraid I can't.
Oh, it's horrible. Oh, please try to understand.
I'm trying.
I was so young when I married you. It isn't fair for me to be your grandmother. Not yet. It isn't that I'm not happy for Emily, but I have my own life, too.
Well, how does this affect your life, Fran?
You mustn't tell Kurt.
Kurt?
You mustn't tell him. Not ever.
I'd ought to go and cable Emily and Harry and tell them how happy we both are.
And you won't tell Kurt. You've got to promise.
No, Fran. I won't tell Kurt. Kurt taking you tonight?
That's him. A new club's opening on top of Montmartre. He's picking us up at 7.
He's picking you up.
Now, what's the matter?
I want to stay here and get off some letters. Do you realize that you haven't written Emily since she had the baby?
Oh, you write for both of us. Emily would rather hear from you anyway.
Listen, Fran. Isn't it about time we thought about going home?
Now, don't start that all over again. Well, I feel I don't care if I ever go back to Zenith.
Fran, do you mean that?
I certainly do.
Fran, I'm willing to do everything I can to make you happy. I adore you. You know that. You're everything I have or want. Only we've got to cut out this nonsense of being wandering adventurers. We've got to go back home.
Now you listen. To repeat your favorite phrase, I'm not going home. Not ever.
Fran.
Kurt loved me and I love him.
What are you saying?
You've no complaints. You've never really known me, Sam. You've never known anything about me.
I'm beginning to think I haven't.
You've never known what sacrifices I made to cover up your stupidities, to help you keep your dull friends and your dull work and your dull reputation.
Don't, Fran, don't say these things.
I'm going to divorce you.
You're sure Kurt wants to marry you?
Of course he does. Kurt has everything I've always wanted. Culture, position. Oh, I admit, I'd like to be a countess. Kurt's going to take me to meet his mother.
Well, there's just one thing, Fran. Wait a month or so before you do anything about a divorce. Be sure this is what you want before you do anything so final.
I'm sure right now. If you want it that way, I suppose I can wait.
I'll instruct my bank to send you $10,000 a year.
You're too generous, Sam.
That, with your own money, you and Kurt should be able to manage.
Oh, Sam. If I could only make you see that it was your own ignorance, your stupidity, and not my fault.
No, Fran. Not your fault.
You're having fun in Paris, aren't you, Chubby dear?
Yeah, I haven't had so much fun in a month as Sunday.
That's fine, dear. Have a time for yourself. Just have a time.
Don't mind, Chubby. Don't mind him enjoying himself, Hilda.
Oh, heavens no. I never really complain. Don't think much of females who fight with their menfolk.
Absolutely right.
Hey, you know, you're quite a gal, quite a wife.
Me? Oh, life's too short to raise the roof when Chubby makes a fool of himself. Yeah. I like to see him happy, having a good time.
Waiter.
Sam, when are you going to let yourself be happy again? When are you going to get wise and chuck Fran?
Oh, what a thing to say, baby. You shouldn't talk like that to old Sam.
I know why Fran didn't come home to Zenith with you. Why, she'd gone off to Berlin. She didn't want to be bothered with Tubby and me, that's what.
Baby, you're talking too much.
I'm a killer.
This is something I've been wanting to tell Sam for a long time. I've seen you change, Sam, these last years. You've been getting more silent, more sort of scared and unsure of yourself, while Fran's been preening her feathers, feeling more and more that she's the one who kept up your position.
Well, I've been kind of tired and confused, that's all.
Sam, you're humble and kind and good. Too good. When I think how Fran's treated you, especially the way she acts towards you in public, I could wallop her.
No, baby.
Fran ought to thank her lucky star she's got you. Sam, have you ever been interested in another woman?
No, never.
Well, I'm making a private bet with myself. 6 more months or sooner, and you'll begin to look around.
No, I'll never do that.
And if you do, you'll be surprised at the number of nice women that'll fall for you.
Yeah, I bet they would at that.
You staying in Paris, Sam?
No, I thought I might do a little more traveling. Maybe go south to the Mediterranean, Italy.
Well, remember what I said. Look around, Sam. Have a little fun.
I'm afraid I've frightened some of your pigeons away.
It's one of them that can fly. They're so fat.
Whoever comes to Venice must feed St. Mark's pigeons. You know, it was so surprising seeing you here in Italy.
Yeah, you know, I'd almost forgotten your name, Mrs. Cartwright.
Where are you and Fran staying? And why hasn't she phoned?
Well, Fran isn't with me. She's visiting friends in Berlin.
You're here alone? Well, then you must certainly come to tea. Whatever you say.
I'm free any day.
And what about today?
I'd love it.
Come along, then. I've a bit of shopping to do, and you can pick out what you'd like to have for tea.
Mrs.
There's a wonderful pastry shop just across the square.
You know, you don't know it, but you're about to save my life.
More tea?
No, I've had enough, thanks.
Another pastry, then.
I had four.
Well, they won't keep, you know.
All right, then. Just one more.
Do you know many people here in Venice?
Not a soul. Till I met you this morning.
Well, most of the fashionable set has moved to the Lido in the warm weather. I prefer Venice. Later on, I may take a villa near Naples. Nothing smart, just comfortable.
You know, you're very unlike my wife's friends in Paris.
You mean Rene de Penab and her crowd?
Well, Fran had some sort of a fight with the Penab woman, but they're the ones I meant. I hate them.
I expect there are many others who share your feelings.
It's a magnificent place you have here, Mrs. Cartwright.
It's old and damp. Badly in need of repair. But I love the huge rooms. Mosaic floors. Faded walls.
I've enjoyed it here. Why do you stay on in Europe?
Because there's peace and quiet here. And I'm an extravagant woman when it comes to the luxury of privacy. For instance, you're the first American I've ever invited to tea here.
I'm flattered.
No, there was something about you. That night in Paris, in that crowded restaurant, you looked so lonely, so forlorn. Tell me, Mr. Dodger, why did you stay on in Europe?
Well, that's kind of hard to say. You know, I came abroad because of Fran. That was last year. Right now, I really don't know why I'm staying here. I wonder, would you have dinner with me tonight?
That would be very nice.
Maybe one of those restaurants on the canal that looks like a palace.
No. I'd rather dine here, if you don't mind.
Here?
Mm-hmm. I've a wonderful cook. And Therese is always complaining that I never have guests. She'd be delighted if she stayed for dinner. And so would I.
I still say I like Italian music better than Wagner. With Puccini, you always know where you stand.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Edith, how many evenings have I been coming here?
I haven't counted them.
Dinner, coffee, and talking until Teresa sends me back to the hotel.
It's not beginning to bore you.
Bore me? I've never enjoyed anything so much. I feel relaxed and happy. For the first time in years.
What do you hear from Fran?
Very little. He's in Berlin. I got a note about once a week. Edith, I'd better tell you before you find out from someone else. Fran's left me.
Yes, I suspected that. The first night you came to dinner here.
Yeah, she's going to marry Count von Oberstdorf.
Oh. So Kurt has finally landed himself a rich wife.
I suppose it's a very ordinary affair. Fran's younger than I am. I only wish I could hate her for what she's done, but I've tried, but I just can't.
I know. I'm glad you can't, Sam.
What shall I do? Shall I go home without Fran or wait around in case this thing with Kurt doesn't work out?
I can't advise you.
No, of course you can't.
So why don't you come down to Naples with me?
Naples? You're leaving here?
Yes, I've rented a little villa. I'm taking Teresa down there at the end of the week. She could chaperone us and cook for us. Why don't you come along? Say you'll come.
Yeah, I'll come.
Well, do you like it?
Ah, it's heaven. Vineyards and gardens and villas overlooking the bay.
I think you'll be happy here, Sam.
I know I will.
Shall we swim this morning?
Why couldn't we just stretch out in the sun?
Whatever you say, darling. Sam, the Baron and Baroness Ercole are staying at the hotel across the bay.
Oh?
They're very nice. Shall I ask them here for dinner some night?
Yeah. Some night next year.
Any special month?
Some month we're not here.
More coffee, eh, Senor?
Sam?
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm afraid I wasn't listening.
Another cup coffee?
No, thanks. But I would like some brandy, though.
Si, senor, right away, huh?
You're very quiet tonight, Sam.
That's my mood, I guess.
Well, that's a good mood.
It's a wonderful, wonderful dining here on the terrace. That view of the bay. Curious thing, Edith.
Yes?
This house of yours that I never saw until the other day. It's the first house I ever felt really at home in. I actually dared to give an order. No, I don't want coffee, but I would like brandy. You know?
Oh, I'm sure Fran never meant to be one of those domestic dictators.
Fran. Yes, Fran.
The brandy, signor.
Therese, I believe I'd like to have a brandy myself.
Yes, yes, signora. I bring you espresso.
I had a letter today. She's back in Paris. Von Oberdorf's turned her down.
Oh?
Rather, his mother did. Refused to give her permission.
His mother?
Because of Fran's divorce. The divorce she would have to get before they could be married.
I never considered that.
Now Fran's decided not to get the divorce. She's sailing for home.
Alone?
She wants me to come with her. Says there's a boat leaving Cherbourg on Friday.
Well, Sam?
I'm afraid I'll have to go.
Have to go?
Darling, I wish there was some way of me telling you how I feel.
I won't let you go back to that woman.
Edith.
I won't see you killed by your selfishness. Her only thought about anybody is what they'll give her and do for her.
Please.
Sam, listen to me. Life offers you sun and wind and freedom. But Fran offers you death. Fear and death. Sam, I've seen you age 5 years and 5 minutes every time you've gotten one of her complaining letters. Now, I know what she does to you.
I know everything you say and more. Fran's a selfish child, but she's my child. And I've got to go to her, and I've got to talk to her.
I thought that someday it would be easy for me to talk to you. I'd tell you all sorts of things. About how I feel and think, Sam. About how good it's been to be with you. About how much bigger you are than you know. And not smaller, as Fran would have you believe. There are so many things I wanted to say.
Youth, a man's habits get pretty strong in 20 years.
Everything's working out as she wants it. This is what she'll call a happy ending. So, there's a plane at midnight. Come along, I'll help you pack.
Bless you, my dear. Bless you.
Wonderful in that suit.
Why, it's a Schiaparelli, darling. And such a bargain. Got it for almost nothing. I'll bet your wonderful flame, Mrs. Cuff. Well, funny. I never can seem to remember her name, Sam.
Quite right.
Oh, yes. She's frightfully clever, I'm sure. I'll bet she'd have paid twice as much for this suit.
Is there more luggage, madame?
No, that's the last, except for my husband's. What about yours, Sam?
I'll attend to it.
I will have everything waiting, madame.
We'll be right down. Oh, Sam, you better hurry. There's not much time.
We'll make it.
Nice to be going somewhere again. Oh, you can't know how tired I got. Oh, you were so right about Court.
Was I?
I don't know how you guessed it. You'd be the first to admit that usually you aren't so awfully good at judging character. But from the beginning, you were right about Court. And his mother. The most horrible, awful, old, stiff-necked woman.
I don't like to hear you ride courting his mother that way.
Oh, you're right, darling. I'll be a good girl, I promise. Well, we've both learned lots in all this, don't you think? In the future, I won't be so flighty, and you won't be so irritable. I'm sure you won't.
Fran.
Hadn't you better send your baggage so we can go?
Fran, I want to talk to you.
Oh, darling, you've days ahead of us aboard ship to do all the talking you want.
No, I want to talk to you now.
I'm not going off someplace and leaving you. Oh, come along, darling. You don't want to miss the boat, please.
I guess there's no use trying to be tactful about this. You won't listen.
Do what, tactfully?
It just won't work, Fran. I'm sure of that now. We'll never be able to make a go, but never.
What have I done now?
It isn't what you've done today.
Haven't you learned anything? Not one single thing out of all our sorrows.
Our sorrows?
Will you kindly, Mr. Dodsworth, be a little less mysterious and tell me just what it is I've done to hurt your tender little feelings this time?
You don't get me, Fran. I'm not trying to make a scene. I'm not blaming you or criticizing you. But I meant what I said. We'll never be able to make a go of it. I'm not coming home with you.
Sam!
How
about it? Are you doing?
Get me long distance. Long distance. I want to put a call through to Italy. Italy, yes. The Villa...
Sam?
The Villa Air Call. At Naples. That's right. Now, hold on.
Sam! What is to become of me?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Oh, you do manage to hurt me. I congratulate you.
Please, Fran, let's not fight.
All the time I've been flattering myself, you really wanted me to come back to you.
I'm not going to be polite, Fran.
I'm sure you're not.
What's going to become of you, I don't know. But I guess it'll be the same thing that's been becoming of you all these years. Yes, operator, I'm still here. Fran, you haven't needed me or wanted me for a long time. Even back in Zenith, you found people to play with. Plenty of bulls and such. I suppose you'll go on finding them until you're an old woman.
That horrid Sam Dodsworth.
The first time in all our argument, I'm thinking of what's become of me.
I hate you, Sam. I hate you.
I can't help you anymore, Fran. You could kill me. I bet you go on the way you have in the past. I didn't mind you used to embarrassing me, continually putting me in my place. Didn't even know you were doing it most of the time. But I know now, and I won't stand for it.
All these years. When I've allowed not one single soul to criticize you. When I've always taken up for you, even when you were wrong.
That's no use, Fran.
Oh, Sam, let's overlook all this, the things we've said. We'll both be sorry after we've thought it over. Oh, now come along, or we'll be late.
Don't you understand, Fran? I'm not coming.
Well, what'll I say to the folks back home?
I don't care what you say. Tell them anything. Tell them the truth. Tell them I'm going to marry the only woman who ever loved me. Tell them we're finished, you and I.
I won't stay here and listen to this.
We're through. Tell them Sam Dodsworth took all he could, and he's not taking any more. Hello? Hello. All right. Edith. It's me. Yeah, Sam.
plan will be going home, back to Zenith without me. I'm flying to Naples on the next plane. Yes, my darling. I'm coming back.
Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Mr. Walter Houston starring in Fletcher Markle's production of Dodsworth by Sinclair Lewis. Another full hour of outstanding dramatic entertainment from radio's celebrated Playhouse. Tonight's script was especially prepared for this series by Vincent McConner, and the original music was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight? In the foreground,
Sam Dodsworth
was played, of course, by Mr. Houston.
Brad Dodsworth
was played by Ann Seymour.
Edith Courtright
was Mercedes McCambridge.
Court von Oberstdorf
was Everett Sloan.
Emily
was Rosemary Rice.
Madame de Pinard
was played by Molly Ballantyne. Luella Gere was Matilda. Robert Dryden was Tubby. And actively assisting were Hedley Rennie, Louis Quinn, and Miriam Wolfe. Next week from Studio One, one of the most striking and forceful portraits of prize-fighting known to theatrical literature. A very wonderful story that is tough and yet tender. It is, in fact, one of the most exciting plays of the American theater. The story of a young man torn between two careers, as a musician and as a prize-fighter. It's a story of love in New York, of ambition, and what happens because of it. The story is Golden Boy by Clifford Odets. And as our visiting star, we welcome from Hollywood Mr. Dane Clark. We hope you'll be with us. Now, until next week, until Golden Boy by Clifford Odets, starring Dane Clark, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night, and thank you from all of us in Studio One. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.